Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Now past 1 o'clock. We are border to border live with you here in St. Louis, Missouri. I guess it would be 2:06 if you're over on the East Coast, but... You know, we connect you all through the overnight. In the first hour, I spent a lot of time on this Mueller report. And I should probably point out, yeah, you know what? I am leaving the line open to anyone that over the last 2 years called into this radio program and said, this is going to be the thing that gets Donald Trump kicked out of office. I'm ready for you to call in and say you're wrong. I'm ready for you to say you got it wrong and you're ready to move on. But we had zero people willing to do that on the left. I'm waiting for it, and it's kind of difficult because when you continue to watch the news networks, they're trying to find different ways to spin this now, even after they have been proven that Donald Trump, hey, how about that, actually didn't commit a crime that you can pin on him and take him down with. How about that? So we'll leave that open. I'm hoping at some point this week we might get one person that is willing to admit they were wrong. Maybe one. Maybe we'll get lucky. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Our first hour already posted online. You can follow me on Twitter. I posted a link there just now at Ryan Recker. Or if you miss any part of the show, you can get it directly at kmox.com/overnight. And from there, your favorite podcast app. If you got one, just search Overnight America. Click that subscribe button, and that way I know you're getting the direct link to it. It would be very, very nice. How about we do this one? With all of the talk about Lori Loughlin and Full House and Felicity something, I don't remember her name, but you have some of these celebrity couples that are paying off officials and greasing the wheels in order to get their kid into these schools or whatnot. It's funny because online, Dr. Dre had to just poke fun at it. Oh, Dr. I don't know anything about Dr. Dre. I'm guessing it's the same guy that does the Beats by Dre headphones, and he's made a mint on those things. Ton of money. And as a radio broadcast professional, I always look at reviews for headphones because it's something that most radio people invest a little bit of money into. Like my headphones that I have, let me see if I take these off. What are they? AKGs. K271 MK2. Yeah, K271 MK2. I don't know how much these go for now. These were expensive headphones when I bought them, and I've had these headphones for a long time. We invest in some nice pieces of equipment that way. You know, we'll spend a couple hundred bucks on headphones. We're not just using the free little rinky-dink ones that come along with our cell phone or whatever when we purchase it, or little earbuds. You know, we normally spend a little money on these things. I get it, because I use them every day. It's kind of like when you're someone that works in a certain trade, you're going to buy nicer tools for the things you use all the time. So Dre and his headphones, not good. Anyone that's ever reviewed these things, they say they're cheaply made, they're way overpriced, and you can find much better headphones for a lot cheaper. So don't waste your money on them. But it doesn't matter because people like it because it's the novelty of having it. It's the luxury of having it. So they purchase these things because they want to look cool or whatever it is. He posts online, my daughter got accepted into USC all on her own. No jail time. Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. Dre wrote alongside a photo of them posing with the certificate of admission, I guess, that they give. So there's his daughter. There's Dre. He's doing like the devil horns or whatever, like the you see the metal rockers doing. And she's got, I don't know what she's wearing. There's some words on her shirt and pants or whatever, but there's a folder that opens up and there's like a certificate, I guess, where you can sign if you accept, and then there's like a little admissions document on the other side of this folder. My daughter got accepted into USC all on her own, just bragging about it. They forgot to mention a little tidbit. 6 years ago, Dr. Dre donated $70 million to USC. You donated $70 million? You don't, listen, your daughter, it doesn't even matter what the grades are. You spend $70 million in order for them to build a new wing on a building? Yeah, you might be able to get your kid in no problem. So in 2013, the Academy named the music industry icons would help the undergraduates in marketing, business, entrepreneurship, computer services and engineering, audio and visual design, and also the arts, and be able to take all of these different things and have this building named after him on the USC campus in exchange for the $70 million donation. Yikes. So the half million doesn't look all that bad. Remember, there were some that were just paying these kids to come take the tests for their students. Oh, here's 15 grand for you to go take a test for them or whatever it was, 10 grand. I forgot how much it was. Or here's $50,000 in order to bribe the right person. Here's $500,000 in order to bribe the right person. And a lot of times the kids didn't even want to go. Just mommy and daddy trying to push the way through. Real sad set of affairs. Why didn't you just do it the old-fashioned way? Buy a building. Come on. Are you saying you're too cheap to buy them a building at their school? That's how they've done it for years. Don't you know that? You don't have to bribe anyone. Just buy a building. You get your name up there. Yeah, they want their legacy to be able to go to that school. I get it. That's just how things work. Unless you're dumb and you decide, oh, no, I'm going to pay someone to take my kids' SATs so I can con their way in. Oh, so sad. All right. You know, I'm going to bring up special guest Stephen Harkey from VivaPay. VivaPay? Apparently, I didn't realize this. There's a lot of people that do not have access to banking. Well, it's not that they don't have a bank they can go to. It's that banks don't want them. And there's a big population. And he's kind of come up with an idea for it. We're going to talk to him about his business. I was just curious about it in general. It's kind of sounds like a commercial pitch for his business. It really wasn't that. But I was just more curious about what it is on the back end. So we're going to talk to him next on Overnight America KMOX. Joining us now is the Chief Marketing Officer at VivaPay, Stephen Harkey. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the digital wallet. A lot of people talk about this sort of thing. I don't use it personally. I know that some pretty big tech companies have been using it, like Apple, you know, and Samsung and all of these, and even Facebook. And there was a term called unbanked, and I wanted to talk to you about that because from what I understand, there's a lot of people that don't use banks or maybe there's something that's restricting or stopping them from using banks, and they're a term of unbanked, which actually hurts them because it restricts them in a lot of cases of different places they can go to that only require things like credit cards. So I was kind of hoping you would explain what an unbanked person is and what may be the motivations to be unbanked.
Sure. I mean, the term unbanked is used, and I was amazed to find out just how many unbanked people there were in our country. According to the U.S. government, 8.5% of all the U.S. households are unbanked.
Oh, wow.
Meaning they do not have a bank account, a credit card, anything like that.
8.5%?
8.5% of the U.S. households. That equates to almost 14 million Americans with no bank account.
You know, that's super surprising. Like, I talked to my grandma and her generation that had a distrust for the banks. So what's the reason why someone would be unbanked today?
Some of it can be on the distress side, but what it is more, I mean, if you remember 10 years ago, we had a financial crisis in this country, and a lot of good, hardworking Americans lost their homes, lost their jobs, lost everything, ruined their credit. Well, unfortunately, if you were one of those people that got hurt in the financial crisis, you wound up, you know, with a damaged credit report. But if you happen to be in the middle of paying your bills and lost your job, you might have checks out there and your paycheck didn't come in. You wind up writing bad checks. Anybody that writes bad checks in the United States, the banks report you to what's called check systems. And check systems is basically a service that all the banks subscribe to make sure they're not giving an account to somebody that's a bad check writer. Unfortunately, in many cases, they don't differentiate between, oh my God, this person lost their job, they've lost their home, their whole life is destroyed, and somebody that does it because they're a bad person and writing bad checks. So wow. People lose their, they end up losing their bank account and they can't get another one. That's one portion.
Yeah, like one example, let's say government shut down that last 2 or 3 months mm-hmm. or something like that, and someone may have a checkout, and some people forget when they write checks or whatever. So things like that do happen to people, and you can't anticipate it sometimes.
No, well, yeah. I mean, think about it. If you normally get your paycheck every Friday or mm-hmm. every 2 weeks, you make out your bills when you make out your bills, knowing, well, on Friday, it's the government. My money is there.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? For millions and millions of Americans, it wasn't there
sure.
for 35 days, and
right.
that's a problem. But even more than that, there's a lot, there's a large immigrant population in the United States as well that comes in, and from their countries, they do have a distrust in the bank, the banking system in general, because many countries, there's a lot of corruption, problems like that. But also, they come into the country and they're afraid in getting a bank account or have a problem getting a bank account because they've just come in as an immigrant. Mm-hmm. That was why Vivi was formed. We originally started in Brazil, which is one of the first countries in the Americas to offer fintech laws.
Mm-hmm.
And what fintech is financial technology. And basically, a few years back in Brazil, the government decided, trying to help their people, where more than 50% of the population is unbanked in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
they wanted to bring more people into the banking system. So they allowed fintech companies to come in and using technology to bring people into the banking system.
Right.
And it worked. They had a very large influx of people coming into the banking system from it. And they opened up the laws to allow a fintech to compete with a bank. Now, keep in mind, the money is still being held in a bank,
mm-hmm.
but the fintech is able to open the account and manage the account that is still being kept in a bank. The money is still at a bank, whether it be in Brazil, if it's for Brazil, or the United States here. Every account we offer is in an FDIC-insured bank account.
Huh. So how does that work then? So if it, technically, would it really be unbanked then if it's still in a bank?
Well, no. When they get a Vivi account, they are no longer unbanked. Mm-hmm. That's the whole portion of it. We help people to get a bank account, but it's not only a bank account. Here in the U.S., like I said, we launch in the United States on April 1st,
mm-hmm.
Where people can start download the app on the App Store, both in Google and the Apple Store.
Mm-hmm.
Download the app, get a digital wallet on their phone, and this digital wallet is actually a digital bank account.
Okay.
Because keep in mind, many times when you hear the term digital wallet, you mentioned Apple Pay, things
right.
like that. Apple Pay stores your credit card information inside the digital wallet,
mm-hmm.
but you have to have a credit card in order to use it.
Right.
Vivi Pay actually gives you a linked Visa or MasterCard to go with the account that we give you so that you actually, we're providing the Visa or MasterCard to go with it. And that allows you, it's a debit card to allow that whatever you put in your account, you're allowed to take out using your card or spend on your card.
Mm.
So it the card, we're giving the actual digital account and the matching card to go with it. So when people have that, they are now banked. They have a bank account, and they're able to see exactly what they're spending, which is one of the key factors. If you're a cash-only person, think about it. You don't remember how much you spent on food this week, how much you spent on gas
mm-hmm.
or on cigarettes or whatever you might be spending it on. Having an account allows you to really look back and see, oh, I've spent this much on gasoline for the week, to
right.
start learning how to budget your money. I mean, the first step towards financial freedom is financial inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Vivi is all about.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating idea. So really, so they're using you as their bank. So Vivi would almost essentially be like a digital bank, perhaps. So you're offering all the services like a brick and mortar would offer, except
mm-hmm.
that you, perhaps if they were to walk through the front doors of a brick and mortar and wouldn't be able to open up an account, they'd be able to do it with you. They do have money coming in. Obviously, they're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
They have checks. They have jobs or whatever it is. They just have no place to put the money. You kind of give them the option to get all the banking features without actually having to go to a bank.
Correct.
Huh.
I mean, every Vivi account actually is... Yeah, it is a full bank account. The only difference between this and any other account that you would get normally as a banked person is there's no paper checks. It's a digital account.
Okay.
You can pay your bills online. You can deposit your check directly from the app. Take a picture in the front or the back, in the back of the check, and deposit your check without having to go to a check cashing store.
Hmm.
If you wonder how many unbanked people are, go to any major city, drive around and look, and on every street corner, there's a check cashing store.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be there if people weren't using them and they weren't charging ridiculous fees.
Yeah, so let's talk about the fee side of mm-hmm. things, because you do see these issues with these check cashing things, and there's some predatory practices where there's some insane APRs that they put on these things that are just incredible. And you see sometimes the late night commercials, and you look and read the fine print, and it's like, you know, the APR is like, it's insane. It's ridiculous. And mm-hmm. The longer you go, the more it goes, and it's just unbelievable what some people pay back. So how does this system work compared to something like that?
Well, in those check cashing stores, they have two different services, usually. One is cashing the check, and depending on what type of check you're cashing, you're paying a percentage.
Yeah.
It could be, if it's a government check, it's a very, very low percentage. A paycheck, a payroll check is a higher percentage than that. But where they really get you is if you have a personal check, things like that, where there's risk. They charge, you know, they can be charge as much as 20%, 30% of a check value to cash it for you. And that's where the problem lies. With Vivi, it's $4.95 a month. There's no other charges. There's no overdraft charges. There's no charges to deposit your check. You can, if it's a payroll check or a government check, it's usually you deposit it today, it's credited to your account tomorrow, just like if you were at a regular bank. If it was a personal check, it would take a couple of days to clear. Mm-hmm. But the nice thing about it is everything you can do in a regular bank account, you can do with a Vivi account.
Mm-hmm.
Only if you go get a regular bank account, even an inexpensive basic bank account is $12 to $15 a month.
Oh, sure.
And you have to have a minimum balance. Vivi has no minimum balance, and it's just $4.95 a month, and it comes with the linked debit card, Visa or MasterCard, that will allow you to go use ATMs, make purchases. And keep in mind one thing, too. If you go into any of the major stores, whether it be a CVS or a Walmart or Walgreens, and you see they sell these Visa and MasterCards all by the register,
mm-hmm.
and people think, whoa, I can just get that card. Well, those are gift cards.
Yeah,
they're not debit cards. And unfortunately, with the gift card, it's not in your name. It's just a card with a number.
Yeah.
So for anything with reoccurring billings, you want to pay for your Netflix. Many times, reoccurring billings don't work when you're using gift cards.
Mm-hmm.
So with this, it is a true bank debit card. It will work anywhere MasterCard or Visa is accepted. And you get the ability to basically join the financial world without paying the high prices.
Yeah, it shocks me. 8.5% of the population. Is that just here in the United States, the percentage?
That's here in the United States.
Oh,
in countries like Brazil, it's 56%.
Whoa!
Mexico, 54%
the
population.
That's crazy to me.
It's estimated that between Mexico through South America and the Caribbean basin, the small Caribbean island countries, that there are over 400 million unbanked people
mm-hmm.
right now in that area. In the Americas, the whole goal of this is to allow people to have access to the financial services, basic financial services that everyone deserves.
Mm-hmm.
And which
helps too. I don't know how many places I've gone into that's, you know, they don't use cash. There's that one story in particular from Philadelphia you were mentioning, where there's a lot of stores and locations that don't even take cash anymore. You have to have a card or something like mm-hmm. that, and then that excludes a lot of people from being able to either go to the restaurant or get a service or whatever it may be.
Well, that's why Philadelphia actually was the first city in the United States that I know of that actually just passed a law saying that businesses are not allowed to be cashless,
mm-hmm.
that a business operating in the city of Philadelphia has to accept cash as well. And I think that their concern was, according to the city, there's over 200,000 people in Philadelphia that are unbanked.
Wow.
In the city. That's a lot of unbanked people. It's more than double the national average as compared to their population. But I think they were thinking they were going to be helping people by forcing that. But in reality, they would help people a lot more by getting them included in the financial system instead of just saying, well, they can just continue to use cash, go to the check cashing store and cash your check.
Well, this is kind of a real fascinating idea. You said you launch here in the United States. You're in a couple of different countries now. Mm-hmm. If people want to check out VivipAy, how can they get an idea or go read some of the things you're doing?
They can look on if they go to vivipay.io.
Okay.
That is our site, which will explain the basics of VivipAy and how we work. And then starting April 1st, they'll be able to just download the VivipAy app on the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be able to, as of April 1st, be able to get that and download it. It's a free download.
Mm-hmm.
They can load it, try it out, see. And the nice thing about it, there's no special qualifications for it. The only thing you have to do is provide proper identification, and that's for the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to prove who you are, which means your driver's license.
Yeah.
Anything like that will work, but you don't have to go in and present it. You can do it right through the app. Take a picture of your driver's license. The bank verifies that you are who you say you are, and you have an account.
Yeah, they got to be. I know the government. They got to be careful for laundering or whatever might be using
exactly.
it for things like that. Plus, after 9/11, even when I personally sold a vehicle, I sold mm-hmm. a vehicle for cash. I met someone at their bank, and I went to go mm-hmm. deposit it, and I found out it's probably not a good idea for you to deposit it all at once, because then you got to do this whole FBI deal because of terrorism. You can't just put a large sum of cash in a bank without raising a bunch of red flags anymore. So, it's a weird system that's out there. So, it's interesting how that works.
Now, they're doing it to protect people, but unfortunately, it does make it difficult at times. And for people that only deal in cash, think about it, how hard it is to actually save when you're only dealing in cash. You're making no interest on your money. You can't invest it in anything. This is the first step towards financial freedom.
Okay. Well, that's one to look out. It's ViviPay, ViviPay.io. It launches here in a few weeks on April 1st. Stephen Harkey, you're the chief marketing officer there. Thank you so much for joining us on KMOX.
Thank you very much. You have a good night.
And he joins us on the GL International Realty guest line. We've seen a pretty large rise in anti-Semitism. And here in the United States, it's weird that this is still happening, but it is. America's Rabbi is going to be joining us next. R.E.A. Spiro on KMOX.
Joining us now is the spokesperson for the National Conference of Jewish Affairs, Rabbi Aryeh Spiro. Thank you so much for coming on Overnight America.
Oh, the KMOX?
The KMOX, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I lived in St. Louis in 1972,
mm-hmm.
and I used to always listen to KMOX.
Oh, is that right? 72 are some glorious years for KMOX. So what shows did you listen to?
I remember I lived in a place called University City.
Sure. Great area now, yes.
And Stratford, and near Clayton, Missouri. Clayton,
mm-hmm.
Missouri.
Right.
And I just knew that the KMOX, that was what you listened to. And then I would run in a place called Forest Park.
Sure. Forest Park, very popular and still very well loved in the area. One of those great worldwide attractions.
Years ago.
Yeah.
It's still there. Wow.
Yeah. Forest Park is the home of the zoo, which is free. Anyone can go in. There's no admission. The Science Center, which is free. No admission there. The History Museum, which is free. The Art Museum, which is free. And of course, there's golf. And it's just a giant area. Apparently, square footage wise, it's larger than Central Park. And it's just a wonderful thing to have here. It's just so wonderful.
And I went to Powell Symphony Hall.
Sure.
This is before Leonard Slatkin, way before.
Well, when did you move out of St. Louis?
I was just there for a year and a half. I was doing some studying.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my early 20s. I was doing some studying with a rabbi at the time,
mm-hmm.
and he was technically Clayton, but I did a lot of things in University City.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did some work over at Wash U.
Oh, wow.
That's a really nice campus. Oh, beautiful place.
Still is one of those great universities, sure. It's a weird time we're living in. We see a new class of congressmen come in, and we're starting to see some of these really blatantly anti-Semitic remarks that would normally trigger condemnation, but you're not seeing that lately. And it's, to me, a little bit troubling. I wanted to get your thoughts on what you're seeing some of our leaders of our country saying, and maybe why you don't think some of the Democratic leaders are condemning them.
It's very troubling. This is all happening on the left side of the political spectrum, and it's happening within the Democrat Party. Democrat Party is dangerously every day creeping further left to the point that they're basically declared themselves socialists.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these folks are really at heart communists. Don't kid yourself. They want to absolutely overturn everything in America. They don't want to transform us simply to Denmark or Sweden. That was 20 years ago. These people are calling for almost for absolute revolution. They would even abandoned the Constitution. It means nothing to them. They are hardcore socialists. They're really communists. Hmm. Part of that involves anti-Semitism and certainly anti-Israelism. Hmm. If you're a socialist, you don't like anything that's distinct. You certainly don't like the Judeo-Christian ethos. You don't like things that are from the biblical foundations upon which the country was founded. Mm-hmm. They don't like Israel. It's a distinct country with a distinct culture, history, just like the United States of America is very distinct. We were founded on specific principles. So those that want to transform America, they don't like Israel. They feel much more comfort with the Islamic world, with the socialist world, the communist world, and they're rearing their ugly head.
You know what is a little hypocritical to me is when we were talking about immigration and the president was trying to assess and part of his people were trying to assess how we're going to be able to handle people coming into the country. There are some dangerous areas in the world. And when he put a hold or a travel ban or at least some sort of we need to figure out how to assess the people that are coming into our country for years. I mean, since he's been in office, they called him anti-Muslim because of that. And they use that over and over and over again. But then when you have some really blatant anti-Jewish sentiments that come from their own people, they don't say a word. And they don't treat it the same way. You have one that's looking at, for example, national security. There wasn't really anyone that wanted to see certain people not allowed in this country if they're legally allowed in here. He just wanted to look at the security aspect of it. But then you have actual politicians that actually hate certain groups of people that they put their hands up and they don't say anything about it. That I don't understand that.
Well, the Democrat Party now is power obsessed. They want to win. They want the power. The people that are in the Democrat Party, be they in the Senate, the Congress, the leadership, the DNC, the people down the road in the states, they want power big time, and they'll do anything to get that power. And if they have to forego condemning anti-Semitism, if they even will live with anti-Semitism, they'll do it. If they can please, in this case, it was the Black Caucus that would not condemn anti-Semitism. It was the Progressive Socialist Caucus. When you say progressive, it means socialist. It was Cortez and her trio of women, or quartet mm-hmm. of women, and it was the Muslim Care Coalition, basically. They said, no, we're not going to condemn Omar. We're not going to condemn anti-Semitism in and of itself. Matter of fact, we're going to take this whole incident that was based on anti-Semitic remarks, and what we're going to say is that we're condemning Islamophobia, saying that really, if you criticize someone like Omar, even though you're really rightfully and justly criticizing her because mm-hmm. she did spew forth anti-Semitism, you can't do it. That's Islamophobia. So you're giving a free pass for a Congressman Omar or someone from the Islamic community to say anything they want, anti-Jewish, anti-Christian, anti-America, anti-Israel. You can't say anything. It's Islamophobic. The Democrats will put up with this. They'll accept that because they want the Islamic vote, the black vote. Listen, the Democrat Party is simply now a coalition of particular ethnic groups, grievance groups, anybody who's against the establishment. That's how they win, and that's more important to them. Winning, no matter how terribly, more important than stopping anti-Semitism. Mm. Oh, they'll stop anti-Semitism if it's from the right, because they want to stop something. But if it's from their precinct, then no. Then somehow they'll finagle. It's not really anti-Semitic. She didn't mean it. She didn't say it. She said it, but she didn't say it. You know, I can go through the... It's so false.
It's interesting the point you made. And joining us is Rabbi Aryeh Spiro. And you said they spin it right back at you. So they'll say that by criticizing anti-Semitic comments, they basically throw it back at you and say you must hate her as a person right. of a certain nationality because you're criticizing that person. Nah, that's dangerous right. too. The way that these things are spun. You know, you're also the National Conference of Jewish Affairs spokesperson. Well, so as the Jewish community, when you see these things and you see these comments come out as a community, how should you react to that?
Well, how should we? We should react with anger, severe disappointment, and fight it. But we all know that there are vast segments within the Jewish community that are so tied to the Democrat Party, so tied to this liberalism, that they ignore it or they too fall into this trap. Well, she didn't really say it. She didn't mean it. And if she said it, didn't mean it, she really... You know, every excuse in the book, because it's very hard for them to sever ties with the Democrat Party. That has been their support system, their identification since World War II. It's very hard for them to sever themselves from the liberalism. They grew up all believing that, you know, if you're a minority group, you're noble, you're wonderful, you have justification for your grievance, you've been oppressed. If you're from the white majority, oh, you're the people that are causing all the problems. They can't tear themselves away from that way of thinking. Mm. So we have a problem. Those in the Jewish community that are tied to liberalism and the Democrat Party, they refuse to see what is happening unfolding right in front of their eyes.
You know, it doesn't even have to be a political affiliation a lot of times, but you happen to just see it a lot when it comes to the modern Democrats. Just since this last midterm election that came through, and then you saw the rise in leadership, you see some of these comments that are coming through here. I never really thought I would see such blatant use of anti-Semitism when it comes to our political officials. But here we are. And when you see the tweets, and the other part of this is once some of these comments come out, it's not that they feel like they need to explain themselves or apologize. They just say, no, it is what it is. You're the one that's the problem. And it's always a spin back. And it's never someone that is trying to actually, I guess, deny their comments. They stand by them for the most part.
That's right. And therefore they're enablers. Yeah. They allow it. They normalize it. They mainstream it. They enable it. These are the people that talk about tolerance and inclusion. And they point a finger at us for every type of ism. My goodness, we are guilty of racism and misogynism and homophobism and LGBTism and every type of ism, and they're practicing it now themselves. And it won't stop just with Jews, because we see in Europe, in the Middle East, in Africa, the Christians too, they're being killed. And if you stand up and you say, now, my goodness, there's genocide here through certain Islamic groups against whole Christian communities that have been around for 2,500 years. No. They accuse you of being anti-Islamic. This is how it works, though. There's now a hierarchy. And in the liberal world, there's nothing worse in their mind than being Islamophobic. So that is more important. You can allow anti-Semitism, and you can allow the genocide of Christianism. You can allow all of this before you are permitted to criticize it, because then you'll be guilty of Islamophobia. And in the liberal hierarchy, That's the greatest of all sins.
Right.
So we're going to see, unfortunately, a lot of this anti-Semitic rhetoric, anti-Christian rhetoric, just go freely spoken, and the people will be afraid. They'll be silenced because nobody wants to be called a name.
You know, and part of this, too, is you also see people challenging certain rights, and then they'll say, let's say you have religious liberties and you have religious beliefs, they'll say those are secondhand to other people's beliefs and other people's rights. So then you fight to see this hierarchy come out because of some of the things that are being set up here. You know, I wanted to talk about your book, Push Back. If people wanted to check it out, where can they find it?
Well, you can go to Amazon, and that's where you find everything today. You just brought up a very good point, though.
Yeah.
In the name of socialism, and they ensconce this stuff in the name of social justice. It's not social justice. Today, when they say social justice, it means socialism. It means social engineering. This is just a beautiful, lofty principle that they've co-opted. And I speak about this how in Pushback, how they've co-opted. They've exploited the language, the moral language, for their own benefit. And we've got to be very careful, because we get suckered into accepting whatever they say or do because they're doing it all in the name of social justice. These people want to destroy the one lifeline that we have, and that's called the Constitution. Without the Constitution, we have no America, and we ourselves have no protections. Mm-hmm. Our protections are the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. They don't respect it. They don't respect the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. Now they're even talking about getting rid of the Electoral College because they don't think they can win based on the Electoral College. We've got to protect the Constitution. We're dealing with Americans that I never thought would act this way, but they really don't revere our Constitution. They don't love America as it's been historically constituted, and now we even see that they'll countenance anti-Semitism if that's what they have to do to win.
Mm-hmm. Rights given by God, not to be taken away by man. And that's
right.
So important to remember that. And once we start to see politicians saying that we are in control of your rights, you got to be very concerned. If they're trying to say, you know, your rights for freedom of speech, freedom to worship the way you want to worship, freedom of press, things like that. When you start to see some of these people come through and say, well, it conflicts with other people's feelings because they don't like the way you're talking about this or that or whatever it may be, whatever the social thing is at the time that the politician on the left is trying to take advantage of, then you start to see that's how they open up that door to try to take away some of your rights, because they say it's not as important as maybe whatever the social justice thing is that we're trying to push. And that is so dangerous.
Exactly. As I say in the book, it was written a few years ago, our rights come from God, not Barack Obama. They come from God. They don't come from Hillary Clinton. And this is very dangerous. This country cannot be based simply on feelings of one group. I don't even mind feelings, but it's basically they only honor their feelings. They don't honor the feelings of 60 or 70% of the rest of America. Yeah. The trouble is here, most Americans are on our side. They believe, they revere the country, they believe in the Constitution. But the energy of the 25% or so on the left is such that they're overtaking us. We're sleeping, my friend. We're sleeping. We're not involved in activism. We're letting them run everything. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a lot of Republicans that we elect that are just faint of heart. They won't fight.
Yeah. Rabbi R.E.A. Spiro, your book is called Push Back. People can check it out. Or if they want to check out any websites, how can people find you?
You can go to Caucus for America, mm-hmm. www.caucusforamerica.com.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Rabbi R.E.A. Spiro, America's Rabbi, thank you so much for joining us here tonight on KMOX.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
He joins us on the GL International Realty Guest Line on Overnight America, KMOX.
Ryan Recker, Overnight America, the two best things in your night on KMOX.
Oh, here we continue. I cannot believe that later tonight, because we're on for another 6 minutes or so here, 5 minutes of Overnight America. But when we come back later, you have the Blues playing, and then you have Overnight America starting at 11, and we're going to be joined with Mark Sargent, who is part of the Flat Earth Society. I found Mark by watching the documentary on Netflix called Behind the Curve. And it was a documentary that just happened to pop up on Netflix in the documentary section. And I was just trying to find something to watch last Saturday morning, two Saturday mornings ago. I thought, I feel like watching a documentary because that's really the only things that I enjoy watching on Netflix anymore. So I started watching this, and I always like different conspiracy theories. I like hearing what other people believe. And I was not that into it, but it was just interesting because it's seeing how personable and relatable the people of the Flat Earth Society actually are. And, you know, they had a convention and they kind of went back and forth between scientists and people and what they believe. So I messaged Mark. He was the main character, very likable fellow. And I said, would you like to come onto my show? We can hook up on Skype or something. And then if you want to do it live, how about we invite callers to ask you questions? He said, sure. So tonight, 11 o'clock, we're going to have our special guest, Mark Sargent. If you've ever wanted to ask a question to someone that believes the earth is flat, tonight is your chance. You're not going to want to miss it right here on Overnight America. Oh, we got ourselves a whole nother story. Let me play this real quick. I love these so much. Probably be good if I had the source up.
Here's a lady with gardener's knee pads. This sets you above the casual shopper.
I'm a professional.
You look like a bush trimming could break out at any moment.
No, but I am a professional. I'm a landscaper, so that's why. I'm on my knees pulling weeds, planting things. Got to protect them.
Even though you're in the business, is there something special about this time of year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, spring is just everywhere, and everybody's going crazy because it has been so gray.
What brings you to the garden shop today?
To replace a plant of a friend of mine that I killed. Can you put that on the radio?
How did it happen?
It's called not watering it.
So your friend said, water my plant while I'm out of town or something?
Correct.
What kind of plant is it?
Mother-in-law's tongue.
Well, this gets more fantastic by the moment. Your friend lent you his mother-in-law's tongue and it died?
Right.
How did your friend take it?
He doesn't know yet. it will be replaced, but he'll realize that it's not the same plant.
Can you buy a similar plant and just say it got bigger?
Or smaller.
People do that with cats sometimes. So are you thinking that maybe you can pull this off and not tell them? Just get a plant that looks identical?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not that good.
Meanwhile, inside that lawn and garden shop.
Let me ask you some advice.
Sure. Maybe,
this nice man was watching a mother-in-law's tongue for a friend and it died and he hasn't told him yet. Do you think it would be all right to just buy a replacement and not tell him?
Yeah, because you can grow them anywhere. As long as you...
But I mean, do you think you could pull it off without hurting the friendship?
Yeah, just don't overwater it. Yeah, I think so. They kind of all look the same. Just depending on the size it was before you lost it. Try to get one about the same size.
Spring has sprung. With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Love it. Kevin does a great job with those. So, of course, everyone's going to be talking about Attorney General William Barr in the report that came out summarizing Robert Mueller's investigation into the 2016 election. I spent a full hour on that. You can catch it online if you go to KMOX.com/overnight. You can also find it on your favorite podcast app. And if you have a favorite podcast app, good for you. If you don't, your smartphone has one on it. If you don't know, even after that, you can just download the free radio.com app and get it from there. And hit that subscribe button wherever you find it. And you can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. I put links to some of the audio there. Wow, that show went by pretty quick. We'll be back again later tonight. I cannot wait to have a conversation with Mark Sargent. I started watching some of his YouTube videos. I got to say, I thought I was going to go into this thinking, oh, this will be a fun, friendly interview. I don't think so. I'm afraid it's not going to be a friendly interview. After I bring up some of the things I found on his videos. So we'll just have to see how it goes. You're not going to want to miss it later tonight. Get some sleep. Enjoy your Monday. We'll see you soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.